Suppose a psychologist or psychiatrist hypnotize you. In that state, your conscious reasoning mind is suspended, and your subconscious is amenable to suggestion. And then he suggested to you that you were the President of the United States. Your subconscious would accept the statement as true. Your subconscious does not reason, choose, or differentiate, as does your conscious mind. You would assume all the airs of importance and dignity that you believe to be the legitimate concomitant of that position. If you were given a glass of water and told you were drunk, you would play the role of a drunkard to the best of your ability. If you told the psychiatrist that you were allergic to Timothy grass, and he placed a glass of distilled water under your nose, telling you at the same time that it was Timothy grass, you would generate all the symptoms of an allergic attack, and the physiological and physical reactions would be the same as if the water were actually Timothy grass. If you were told that you were a beggar on Skid Row, your demeanor would immediately change, and you would assume the attitude of humble suppliants with an imaginary tin cup in your hand. In short, you may be made to believe that you are anything, such as a statue, dog, soldier, or swimmer, and you will act the part suggested with amazing fidelity to the nature of the suggestion. Insofar as your knowledge extends of the characteristics of the thing that is suggested. Another important point to remember is that your subconscious mind always accepts the dominant of two ideas. That is, it accepts your conviction without question whether your premise is true or absolutely false. The modern scientific straight-line thinker looks at God as the infinite intelligence within his subconscious mind. He doesn't care whether people call it the superconscious, unconscious, subjective mind, living spirit almighty, or whether they call this supreme intelligence Allah, Brahma, Jehovah, reality or spirit, or the all-seeing eye. The point is, it is there. It's within you. All the powers of the infant are within you. God is spirit, however, and the spirit has no face, form, or figure. It is timeless, spaceless, and eternal. The same spirit indwells every man. This is why Paul says that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. You're also told the kingdom of God is within you, the book of Luke. Yes, God is in your thought, your feeling, your imagination. In other words, the invisible part of you is God. God is the life principle in you, boundless love, absolute harmony, infinite intelligence. Knowing that you can contact this invisible power through your thought, strip the whole process of prayer from mystery, superstition, doubt and wonder. The Bible tells you the Word was God. The Word is a thought expressed, as you know. And based what you've already heard, every thought is creative and tends to manifest itself in your life according to the nature of your thought. It stands to reason that any time you discover the creative power, you have discovered God. As there's only one creative power, not two, three, or a thousand, just one. Hear, O Israel. Israel means illumined, awakened man. The Lord, the supreme power, our God is one Lord, one power, one presence, one cause, and one substance. Many of us have been conditioned negatively when we were young. All of us are susceptible to suggestion when we were young, highly impressionable. For example, supposing a man is, let us say, a sourpuss, or he has a nasty temper, or he complains about it, he can sit down every night prior to sleep, and also in the morning and the afternoon, and he can affirm as follows. He can write these in his subconscious, he can reprogram his mind, he can redirect it, he can write upon it, and the nature of the subconscious is compulsive. Therefore, he'll be compelled to become genial, cordial, a man of goodwill. This is what he should say. Henceforth, I shall grow more good-humored. I shall have more joy and happiness and inner peace of mind. Every day I am becoming more and more lovable and understanding. I am now becoming the center of cheer, cordiality, and goodwill to all those around me, infecting them with good humor. This happy, joyous, and cheerful mood is now becoming my normal, natural state of mind, and I am grateful. He can take these statements, reiterate them, repeat them, remind himself that he's writing these in his deeper mind, and whatever is impressed in the subconscious mind comes forth as form, as function, as experience and event. For out of the heart of the subconscious are the issues of life. Many people have been victims of negative suggestions or negative conditioning or programming when they were very young. In all ages, the power of suggestion has played a part in the life and thought of man, in every period of time and in each country of the earth. In many parts of the world, it is the controlling power in religion. Suggestion may be used to discipline, control ourselves. There are constructive suggestions and there are also negative ones. Suggestion can be used to take control and command over others who do not know the laws of mind. In its constructive form, it is wonderful and magnificent. In its negative aspects, it is one of the most destructive of all the response patterns of the mind, resulting in inferiority, patterns of failure, suffering, sickness, and disease. From infancy on, the majority of us have been given many negative suggestions. Negative programming would be a better word. Not knowing how to reject them or thwart them, we unconsciously accepted them. Here are some of the negative suggestions resulting in negative programming of your subconscious mind. You were told, oh, you can't do that. Maybe someone said to you, you'll never amount to anything. Now you have an inferiority complex. They said, you mustn't do that. You'll fail. You haven't got a chance. You're all wrong. It's no use. It's not what you know, but who you know. The world is going to the dogs. What's the use? Nobody cares. It's no use trying so hard. Others said to you, oh, you're too old now, forget it, your memory is failing. Things are getting worse and worse, life is an endless grind. Others said to you, love is for the birds, and you just can't win. Pretty soon you'll be bankrupt. Watch out, you'll get the virus. You can't trust a soul. All these negative suggestions, if you accept them, you'll program your subconscious mind in a very negative way. You'll have a sense of inferiority, inadequacy, and a sense of fear. Unless, as an adult, you program your subconscious mind constructively, which is a reconditioning therapy, the impressions made on you in the past can cause behavior patterns that cause failure in your personal and social life. Programming is a means releasing you from the mass of negative verbal conditioning that might otherwise distort your life pattern, making the development of good habits difficult. Pick up the paper any day and you can read dozens of items that could sow the seeds of futility, fear, worry, anxiety, and impending doom. If accepted by you, these thoughts of fear could cause you to lose the will for life. Knowing that you can reject all these negative suggestions by giving your subconscious mind constructive auto-suggestions, you counteract all these destructive ideas. Check regularly on the negative suggestions that people make to you. You do not have to be influenced by destructive negative suggestions. All of us have suffered from it in our childhood and in our teens. If you look back, you can easily recall how parents, friends, relatives, teachers, and associates contributed in a campaign of negative suggestions. Study the things said to you, and you will discover much of it was in the form of propaganda. The purpose of much of what was said was to control you or instill fear into you. The negative suggestions go on in every home, office, factory, and club. You will find that many of these negative suggestions are for the purpose of making you think, feel, and act as others want you to, and in ways that are to their advantage. That's negative programming of your deeper mind. Now, there is a right way to program your subconscious mind. Every morning of your life, you can sit steady, quiet, get relaxed, and affirm as follows. Divine law and order governs my life. Divine right action reigns supreme. Divine success is mine. Divine harmony is mine. Divine peace fills my soul. Divine love saturates my whole being. Divine abundance is mine. Divine love goes before me today and every day, making straight, joyous, and glorious my way. This is the way a Marine captain programmed his subconscious mind during World War II. He reiterated these truths frequently. Gradually, by repetition, faith, and expectancy, they entered into his subconscious mind, and whatever is impressed in the subconscious is compulsive. Therefore, he was compelled to lead a life of harmony and peace and of love. This is how he programmed his mind, every morning and every night. The Lord is my pilot. I shall not drift. He lighteth me across the dark waters. He steereth me in the deep channels. He keepeth my log. He guideth me by the star of holiness for his namesake. Yea, though I sail mid the thunders and tempests of life, I shall dread no danger, for thou art with me. Thy love and thy care, they shelter me. Thou preparest a harbor before me in the homeland of eternity. Thou anointest the waves with oil. My ship rideth calmly. Surely sunlight and starlight shall favor me on the voyage I take, and I will rest in the port of my God forever. As by J. Rogers, a merchant marine captain, written during World War II. It's a wonderful way you can do that too, every morning before you step into your automobile. You can sit down and repeat that and reiterate it, remind yourself of these truths. What are you doing? Aren't you programming? Aren't you writing into your subconscious mind? Aren't you feeding it life-giving patterns? And as you reiterate these things and remind yourself and announce these truths and believe in them, they sink into your subconscious mind and they become compulsive, for the nature of your subconscious mind is compulsive. Last year, speaking in New Orleans, the Unity Temple there, a woman told me, she said, there was a man used to come here, and he used to say, quite frequently, there are a lot of hold-ups in my neighborhood. I remain open that night rather late, and I'm going to be held up one of these nights. I'll probably be shot too. And they told him, stop making these negative suggestions. Stop thinking along that line. Well, he kept on doing it. He didn't pay any attention. He kept programming his subconscious negatively, and he was held up, and he was also shot. Now, that's the wrong way. He could have said, he could have taken the 91st Psalm and said, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall I rest. And the truth shall be my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid for the terror by night, or the arrow that flieth by day. He could have reiterated these truths. He could have realized the love of God surrounded him and enfolded him. Where he was, God was. He could have said to himself, thou art my hiding place. Thou will compass me about with songs of deliverance. And then he would build up an immunity to all harm. These are spiritual antibodies that immunize you. You become God intoxicated. And that's the right way to program your mind. A few years ago, a detective told me about a woman who was raped and strangled. In checking her apartment, he found clippings of rape going back for 20 years. That which I greatly fear, Job says, has come upon me. Actually, she was programming her subconscious mind Negatively, of course, and she experienced that which she feared. That's the wrong thing to do. Fear is fate upside down. Fear is fate and the wrong thing. We've had politicians running for office who've openly said to newsmen, one man in particular said, I lived in constant fear of assassination, even though he had bulletproof glass in front of him when he spoke, but he announced that to the reporters. Now, of course, he didn't, of course, know the laws of mind. That fear, he didn't know perhaps that he could cast out fear, but he could. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod means the power, and the staff is your authority. To call upon it will answer you. One with God is a majority, and if God be for me, who can be against me? Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. The politician could have said, I dwell in a secret place. I am surrounded by the sacred circle of God's eternal love. The whole armor of God surrounds me. Wherever I go, the light of God surrounds me, enfolds me, and enwraps me. He would render himself invulnerable, invincible, and impervious to all harm. That's the right way to program your subconscious mind. You can build up that immunity. Oh, yes, you can. As a man thinketh in his heart or subconscious, so is he. So does he act, so does he experience, so does he express. This is the law. I'm not talking about thinking in the head. I'm talking about thinking in your heart, your own subconscious. Whatever is impressed there is expressed. Remember, when you're dealing with your subconscious, you're dealing with the power of the Almighty. It's the power that moves the world. It's the power that moves the galaxies in space. It's almighty. There's nothing to oppose it. Consciousness is God. Unconditioned consciousness, sometimes it's called awareness, I am, living spirit almighty. Your consciousness is the union of your conscious and subconscious mind. It's the sum total of your acceptances, your beliefs, your opinions, and your convictions. That's God. That's the only God you'll ever know. Your thought and feeling create your destiny. Consciousness is God because it is the only creative power in your life. And your thought and feeling, yes, is the father of all experience. If you talk about the father within, well, what fathers everything? Your own thought and feeling. Your conscious and subconscious. Whatever your conscious and subconscious mind agree on, meaning the brain and the heart, comes to pass. True or false, good or bad. You're the one who's choosing. You mold and fashion your own destiny. Your faith in God is your fortune. And your faith should be in the goodness of God, in the land of the living, in the guidance of God, in the harmony of God, in the beauty and glory of the infinite. That's where it should be. You're told no manifestation cometh in the knees, if I, the Father, draw it. The Father is your own thought and feeling. So whatever experiences come to us, there is an equivalent pattern in our subconscious mind. There's always a cause. And that cause, of course, is in our mind. A man said to me that he wanted to succeed and advance in life. In reality, he didn't. He had a subconscious pattern of failure. He had a sense of guilt and felt he should be punished. With his conscious mind, yes, he worked very hard. And he said to himself, in his intellect, oh, I worked very hard. But in his deeper mind, he was programmed and conditioned to failure. He had a sense of unworthiness and a belief which compelled him to fail. He had a picture of failing in his mind. He felt he should be punished, that he was a sinner. The law of your subconscious, you see, is compulsive. That's the power that I mentioned. That's the almighty power. It's the power of God. He learned to reprogram his mind by realizing that he was born to win, born to succeed, born to triumph, for the infinite power is within him. It knows no failure. It's almighty. It created all things. There's nothing to oppose it, challenge it, thwart it, or vitiate it. For it is almighty. It's the only power. Furthermore, he learned he was punishing himself. He started every morning and night and also during the day. And this is what he affirmed. Now, he was writing this down with his conscious mind. And this is what he wrote. I am born to win. I'm born to succeed in my prayer life, my relationship with people, in my chosen work, and in all phases of my life. For the infinite is within me, and the infinite can't fail. It's the power of the Almighty moving through me. It's my strength. It's my power. It's my wisdom. Then he said, success is mine. Harmony is mine. Beauty is mine. Divine love is mine. Abundance is mine. He reiterated, repeated these truths. He reflected upon them. He reminded himself driving along the road before he went in to see a customer. He announced these truths regularly and systematically, and he didn't deny what he affirmed. And gradually, he became a tremendous success because he succeeded in impregnating his subconscious mind by repetition, reminding himself, announcing these things, teaching his thoughts to dwell upon the great affirmatives of life. And as you do this regularly and systematically, wonders will happen in your life. When you were born, no one had to tell you how to find the mother's breast, you know. There was a subjective wisdom guiding you, directing you. Yes, the Bible says, I will write my laws in your inward parts. I will write them in your heart. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. So all the powers of the God are within you, and the laws and the truths of God are written in your own subjective mind. All the vital organs were controlled when you were born, when you were sound asleep. Every night of your life, that same intelligence governs all the vital organs of your body, your breathing, your inspiration, circulation of your blood, your digestion, your heartbeat, and all that. And that's the God presence within you. The presence and power of God are within you. The great eternal truths are there. They were inscribed in your heart before you were born. But all of us have been programmed since birth. Millions of people have been programmed with certain fears, false beliefs, taboos, and strictures, and superstitions of the first water. As Quinby said in 1847, every child is like a little white tablet. Everybody comes along and scribbles something on it, you know, grandmother, grandfather, clergyman, father, mother, sisters, brothers. We receive an avalanche of sights and sounds, beliefs and opinions, and don'ts and fears and doubts. You weren't born with any fears at all, you know. You weren't born with any prejudices. You weren't born with any creedal beliefs or any false or weird concepts of God or life. Where did you get them? Someone gave them to you. Someone programmed you, perhaps negatively. Many were told they were sinners in the hands of an angry God. I have talked to women, beautiful, attractive, well-educated. They wear black stockings. They think it's a sin to use rouge or makeup of any kind. Or wear gold, oh, that's a terrible sin. To play cards, cards are of the devil. Or attend movies, all these are sins. When we look at them, they're frustrated, bottled up, inhibited, unhappy. I tell them to wake up, to dress for God. There's nothing in the universe evil. The whole world is here, was here when they were born. All the birds sing for you, and all the all the animals in the world are here too, and all the stars are in the sky for you to adore and to worship and to be delighted with. So I tell them, I said, you're here to dance, and go ahead and learn to dance, for the universe is the dance of God. And I tell them, take lessons in golf, play music, do all the things you're not doing. Play music, attend college, take lectures in public speaking, meet men, and go out and take courses in Spanish or many other things. You're here to lead a full and happy life. You're here to live in an objective world, have recreation, have fun, merriment and joy and creativity, and express yourself. You're also here to meditate and to pray, of course, too. We're living in a subjective and objective world. There's nothing evil in the universe. God pronounced everything good. Therefore, there's nothing evil in dancing or playing cards or anything of that nature, looking at a movie, a constructive one, nothing evil in any of those things. Nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Then I explained to them, I said, you're frustrated, you're sick, you're unhappy. And I teach them how to attract a man into their life. I said, you should be married, you should have love. Every woman wants to be loved and cosseted, appreciated. She likes to receive attention. She wants to feel needed and wanted. And if she says she doesn't, she's sick. Every woman does. And then they learn a simple law. They go out and do all these things. Do the thing you're afraid to do, and the death of fear is certain. I tell them, you've been brainwashed. You've been programmed negatively and destructively. And the will of God for you is a greater measure of joy, of happiness, of love, of peace of mind. They learn the law of attraction. You should see some of them now coming to the Wesley E. Bell Theater, beautifully dressed, you know. And they have some makeup on, too, and they have beautiful rings, sometimes a marriage ring. Oh, yes, they have transformed. They have reprogrammed their mind. Infinite Spirit attracts to be the ideal man who harmonizes with me in every way, shape, and form. He is spiritual-minded. He loves my ideals. I love his ideals. He doesn't want to make me over, and I don't want to make him over. He comes without encumbrances. He's the man sent from God. There are harmony, peace, love, and understanding between us. That's the prayer I give them, and I say, now you write that down in your subconscious. Do it with interest. Gradually, like a seed, it will die in your deeper mind and come to pass in ways you know not of. I was taught when I was young that if a boy were indoctrinated with a certain religious belief until he was 7, that no one could change it. Well, of course, it can be changed. It was rather difficult. The boy, of course, is being brainwashed. But they were referring, you see, to that negative conditioning of the mind. When young, we're susceptible, we're impressionable, and teachable. We're amenable to suggestion. We don't have the sense to reject it. Reject the negative suggestions, and we accept the many false beliefs and erroneous concepts regards God, life, and the universe. Where did you get your creed or your religious belief? You certainly weren't born with it. Is it true? Is it reasonable? Is it illogical and reasonable? Is it unscientific? If it's unscientific and illogical and unreasonable, it can't be true. There is Pat, for example. He believes the cards are stacked against him. Some fortune teller told him that, I suppose. The cards are not stacked against him. The universe is for him. But he is enthroned that concept, and he believes it. His subconscious mind accepts it. This false belief creates a quarrel in his mind, and he thinks people are working against him, that misfortune would follow him, some sort of a jinx is after him. He made that law for himself, and it controls him and governs him. Man's subconscious assumptions, beliefs, and convictions dictate and control and manipulate all his conscious actions. The late Dr. David Seabury told me about a man who was practically crippled, partially crippled anyhow. He had little or no education, and as an experiment and suggestion, he pretended to analyze his potentialities based upon the idea that his mental faculties and character cracks are indicated by the configuration of one's head, also the lines and the configuration in his hand. Seabury told this man, who was partially crippled, he said, you're destined to become a great evangelist, a great preacher. God intended you to go forth and preach in a wonderful, wonderful way. This man became active in his particular church, and he became an outstanding preacher, Dr. Seabury said. He accepted and believed that God had ordained him to become a great preacher, and according to his belief was it done to him. And it was just as simple as that. There is only one power, one presence. Your thought and feeling fathers all your experience. How are you programming your subconscious mind? The creative power is one. Do you know one of the greatest of all truths? Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. One Lord. Israel means a prince ruling with God. Israel means any man who knows his I amness to be the Lord God Almighty, to be sovereign and supreme. And he gives all his allegiance, devotion, and loyalty to that one power, the living spirit within him. He gives no power to any created thing, to any man, woman, or child in this universe.